VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We are revisiting a very critical issue on our program today. We are just days away from a World Health Organization meeting taking place in Geneva, Switzerland, and at stake is the sovereignty of the United States of America. We have the Biden administration planning to offer devastating amendments and agreeing to them to regulations that will enable the WHO, the World Health Organization, the authority to declare a health emergency and take control over life as we know it in our country. If ever there was a power grab, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. And a vote is scheduled to take place very soon. Our guest today is calling upon American people to urgently get in contact with their representatives. We're going to unfold the topic for you, but it's our privilege to welcome to Crosstalk Dean Michelle Bachman. She is the Dean of the School of Government at Regent University. She previously served in the Minnesota State Senate, then ran for Congress in 2006, won as the first Republican woman from Minnesota, elected to the House, and served and reelected there for several terms. And it's our privilege to have her with us. Dr. Bachman, thank you for being here on Crosstalk.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. I'm really thrilled to be with your audience. Thank you for having me on.
Well, with this being such a significant issue, how is this kept quiet for so long? No major media on this, no speeches from the president, appears to be kept secretive from us, the American public, and many have just been finding out on this. And as people find out, Dean Bachman, they're clearly outraged.
Well, you're exactly right about that, Jim, and I believe that that is by design. You know, it was in January 18th, to be precise, the Biden administration shared proposed amendments to the international health rules with the World Health Assembly with the UN. So the Biden administration shared their proposals with the United Nations, but they failed to share them with the American people. It wasn't until the amendments were posted on April 12th of this year on the World Health Organization's website. When they went up, it was without fanfare. They were noticed, and then they started to be circulated to a few people. They came to my attention, and we've been doing everything we can since to let people know about this. And you figure that's just over a month ago. That's about 5 weeks ago when we even found out about this threat to the United States sovereignty. But it is really also a blessing. I have to say a lot of people have been praying. And it's been amazing. Really, people are starting to find out about this threat. And I'm thrilled that that is happening. And some of your listeners may have seen last night Tucker Carlson did an opening segment on this issue, and Laura Ingraham did as well. So now we're at a completely different level of knowledge. The National Religious Broadcasters put out a piece about this. Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, put out a piece. Today, the Family Research Council is putting out an essay that I wrote on this as well. So that is being published today. So it really isn't until this last week that organizations, Christian organizations, conservative organizations even found out about this. Members of the Senate knew nothing about this. Members of the U.S. House knew nothing about this. And I think it was by design. The Biden administration honestly thought they could take these proposed amendments, they could go under the radar, the vote would happen May 22nd through 28 in Geneva, Switzerland, and it would be over, and they would have this done. But now people are starting to learn how consequential this is, and this is the essence of how consequential it is. For the last 2.5 years, our nation has been governed not by law, but under emergency powers. The presidents have had emergency powers to deal with COVID. So because of the pretext of COVID, extraordinary powers never seen before have been taken by the administration. People need to realize Congress never voted on vaccine mandates. They never voted on mandates to wear masks. They never voted on lockdowns. Congress never voted that gyms or restaurants or schools have to be closed. They didn't vote on any of that. governors took emergency powers, and they closed schools, and they made mandates. Mayors took emergency powers, and they closed things down. And realize what happened. Our American economy has been destroyed in the last 2.5 years. We've had people's personal lives destroyed, businesses destroyed, people's mental health, physical health, our healthcare delivery system has been destroyed, not under law, but under emergency powers. So what these amendments that the Biden administration is proposing will do, they will take this same concept of rule by emergency powers and give emergency power to the Director General of the World Health Organization, the healthcare arm of the UN. There's 194 nations who are a part of 194 nations who are part of the United Nations. That's 99.4% of all the people on Earth. These amendments would give the power to the Director General of the World Health Organization to make decisions over health care that would impact all nations on Earth. So the same emergency powers where we saw extraordinary actions like lockdowns, mandates, closures of businesses, people being thrown out of work, that same sort of action now could be taken at an international level. And the enforcement would be by the Biden administration, not by the World Health Organization. So you say, well, why would Joe Biden or why would an American government enforce what the UN is doing? Well, the amendments are coming from the American government. Mm-hmm. They're coming from Joe Biden. So, of course, he's going to enforce what the Director General of the World Health Organization is proposing. And he creates new powers that have never been given to the United Nations before, powers where they would have the right to surveil us in the United States. They would have the right over notification. We'd have about 24 hours notice to go along with whatever it is that the UN is proposing, or they could bring sanctions against us or fines against us or potentially travel bans against us. It is a level of power we've never seen. Specifically, Article 12, Section 2, Line 6, strikes out the United States' ability and any other nation's ability to be able to say no to the UN and to not agree, and instead empowers the Director General of the UN to make decisions unilaterally.
And this is a really important point, because the U.S. has always had the ability to push back against the power of the WHO, even pulling funds in the last administration.
Yes.
But now it seems we're propelling the WHO to a level of authority over the U.S. never before achieved.
That's right. That's exactly correct. Now, this is the pushback that you'll get from senators or House members. And I want to make clear, this is not a treaty. So this does not require a vote, a two-thirds vote of the United States Senate. In 2005, there was international health rules that were created by the World Health Assembly. The World Health Assembly is the governance body over the World Health Organization. And the rules that govern are the international health rules. We, the United States, went into and agreed with international health rules back in 2005. So the Biden administration is proposing to amend those rules of 2005. That does not require, since it's not a treaty, that doesn't require a two-thirds vote by the U.S. Senate. It's just a simple majority of all the nations that are going to be meeting in Geneva, Switzerland next week. Now, originally, in the original amendments, the reason why we were comfortable with going in is because it said you can opt out. If a country doesn't agree with any of the rules that are proposed, they can opt out. And that opt out is still in the rules. But if the Biden administration agrees with what the Director General of the WHO says, he's going to enforce it. And it's going to be honest. And this is not far-fetched, because people need to understand, for the last 2 years, we've essentially been living under the recommendations of the World Health Organization.
Yes.
And you say to me, well, how do you say that? Well, just take a look on Facebook. Facebook's official policy is that if anyone on Facebook is writing about anything that is not in line with the policy of the WHO, Facebook threw people off. The same thing happened with Twitter and with various other social media. People had to agree with the WHO. A lot of celebrities were out bragging that they stand with the WHO. Whatever the WHO says, they stand with. Now look at our Centers for Disease Control. That was the agency that President Biden put all of his vaccine mandates based on and the mask mandate. Mm-hmm. It wasn't law. The Centers for Disease Control doesn't create law.
Right.
They're not a regulatory body. They don't have any powers of enforcement. But they just put a recommendation up that said, we think schools should close. Bam, the schools are closed.
Right.
We think that people should wear masks. Bam, we're all forced to wear masks on airplanes and buses and trains. So whatever they put up there, it wasn't law, but it was treated by the Biden administration as law.
Right.
And so if the WHO came up with a pronouncement, that's what's been on the CDC website for the last 2 years. And the Biden administration has already been enforcing those recommendations of the WHO. So we're already in this. We've already been living like this for 2 years, but we've been living under it because currently, today, as we're having this conversation, President Biden is operating under emergency powers that he declared himself through an executive order. And he just 2 days ago extended his emergency powers through July.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what President Biden wants to give to the Director General of WHO, the ability to operate under emergency powers so the Director General can issue and state that the United States is under a public health emergency of international concern.
And friends, with this, under this emergency, and then give them the dictatorial powers like we have seen exercised under the Biden administration. Now,
we're
just a minute from the break here, but some are dismissing this, Dean Bachman, because he said, well, these rules were started under the Trump administration. I think you started to go there, but how do you respond to this defense?
They were started under the Trump administration in the State Department, and their intention was good. They said, hey, China wasn't straight with us about their involvement in the creation of this COVID problem, and that's true. But just realize, it's really naive to think that this is going to be used against communist China. They haven't been held to any standard. They never will be held to any standard. They're not going to comply. This is going to be used against us because the Director General is acting on behalf of the Communist Chinese Party. He's not acting on behalf of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Michelle Bachman, who is Dean of the School of Government at Regent University. We're up against a quick break. We're going to take the break here, but such an important conversation we're having today because we are on the brink. We are on the brink of surrendering our sovereignty to the World Health Organization with a vote taking place just days from now. We're going to be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk with more important information. Don't go away. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar Speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any evidence for creation from the solar system?
Yes, there are, Chris. In fact, quite a few. One of the ICR physicists, Dr. Russ Humphreys, made a prediction a few years ago before the exploration of Jupiter by satellite. He had developed a theory of the magnetic field of planets in the solar system based on the Bible. And the satellite found the evidence fit his model and not the evolutionary model of long ages. In particular, Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, has an Earth-like magnetic field, but is tilted 80 degrees away from the spin axis. This pretty much proves that the magnetic field is not produced by fluid currents in the moon's interior, as is postulated by long-agers for Earth. As a matter of fact, the Earth's dipole magnetic field is decaying so fast, soon it's going to be gone. It couldn't be the result of events millions of years ago, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis. Friends, I hope you're listening to the gravity of the information that we're talking about today. I mean, it is devastating as what it relates to our sovereignty. Some have viewed this as being an end run around our Constitution. Dr. Robert Malone, who's the key inventor of the mRNA technology platform, sounding a huge warning on this matter, saying that Americans are facing something much more sinister than just the weaponization of public health to create this inverted totalitarian state here in the United States. He said this: if you care about your country, if you care about your children, this is not the time to sleep or play video games. This is a time to get engaged. With us here, Dr. Michelle Bachman. Dean Bachman, I'm guessing you're agreeing here with Dr. Robert Malone on that issue.
I do. I have great respect for Dr. Robert Malone, an extremely brilliant guy who is the inventor of the mRNA vaccine and who has been the first one to sound the alarm about his concerns regarding the vaccines, but also he recognizes how dangerous these proposed amendments are. And yes, these amendments did originate from the State Department under the Trump administration. And they were touted as being a good thing to try and hold China accountable by empowering the World Health Organization so that they could compel China to disclose information to the UN. That's laughable on its face because China is not held accountable. China has been a bad actor. They're the number one thief in the world for stealing nations and private businesses' internet information. China has built themselves up by espionage, by stealing off of the internet formula, patents. They've stolen commercially. They've stolen from our U.S. government plans for planes and all sorts of things. The United States has been the R&D for China, basically. Mm-hmm. We've been their research and development. They just steal everything they can off of the internet from us. So China is not a good actor. They're not an honorable actor. And they have a desire to be the dominant nation in the world, and through part of that, they have picked their guy to be the head of the World Health Organization, and just like our lives have been controlled through the auspices of health policy, that's what is being proposed now at the UN level, to control all nations of the earth.
I think it's also in particular
to take our nation down.
Yes, and I agree. It is to bring down the United States of America. If they can get the U.S.
Yes.
to go down,
yes.
all nations are going to tumble like pins in the bowling alley. Dean Bachman, I see this as being even more expansive than just that of a virus going. I mean, when any UN agency thinks of health, they're also thinking about such things as a rise in crime or gun violence or climate change, even white nationalism. Am I taking this too far that they could declare a health emergency and dictate nationwide gun confiscation or a climate emergency, take control over everyone's thermostats, and then we got all these smart meters now, even ration gasoline? Is that conspiracy thinking, or is this a real threat?
No, because the language is written so vague, and we know that we already know. We have years of experience with the UN. They've been around since 1945, and their experience has always been to push us toward really a global governance model of a one-world government. Mm-hmm. And when a person would bring this up before, people would be called a kook, a conspiracy theorist. You wear a tinfoil hat if you're saying that this is the kind of movements that you see at the UN or through international organizations. But at this point, these people aren't subtle anymore. They're very bold about this. The World Economic Forum, for instance, they just held a meeting in Abu Dhabi on March 30th. And at that meeting, their meeting was called World Government Summit. World Government Summit. And the very first thing that was said by the moderator, Becky Anderson from CNN, is, are you ready for the new world order?
Oh, my.
And they talked about that throughout the whole thing. I mean, they're not subtle anymore. And so what these amendments do, Jim, is they create a platform for global governance through the World Health Organization, the healthcare arm of the United Nations. That's what these amendments do. Bottom line, it creates a platform for global governance. Why would we do that?
Yeah.
Why would we ever empower the UN? The UN will never make decisions that will be in line with our Constitution or for our good. So the other argument people will say to me is, well, this could never happen. This is against the Constitution of the United States.
So is closing every church across this nation.
That's right.
Yeah, and they had no problem doing that.
That's right. And so you have to realize that for the last 2+ years during this COVID experience, we have lost our constitutional protections. Governors violated our constitutional protections. The president did. The Supreme Court has. The Congress has violated us. But we really haven't operated through law. We've operated under emergency powers. And that's why one thing I would urge your listeners is when you call the Capitol switchboard to talk to your senator or to talk to your House member or to talk to their staff, tell them it is time to end emergency powers. Joe Biden needs to get rid of emergency powers. That has to be over with because emergency powers have allowed our economy to be destroyed and people's lives to be destroyed, quite frankly, through the destruction of our healthcare delivery system. We need to demand the end of that. But the immediate is that this vote will take place this week. And I want to give people some hope here because I know it's really despairing, this conversation that we're having, mm-hmm. because it sounds like, hey, I've never heard of this before. I'm hearing about it for the first time. You're telling me next week they're going to take this vote in Geneva, Switzerland. What can I do about it? Well, we can all call our senators. I realize it's Friday, but we can all call our senators and our House members. We can make our voice be heard and demand that the Biden administration withdraw these amendments. The second thing we can do is we can demand that our House and Senate members hold hearings on this and take a vote on this, even if it's not required, that they actually take a vote on it and go on record, but also demand that the president give up his emergency power. There is no reason. Because when he's operating under emergency powers, he's acting beyond the Constitution. He's not subject to constitutional limitations. We have let him do this for too long. And we need to demand that he rescind those emergency powers and not give these emergency powers to the Director General of the U.N.
Friends, let me give you some phone numbers here to the House, to the Senate. There are actually a couple switchboards you can use to get in. There is the Senate switchboard at 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. And to get specific numbers for your senator, we need to melt these lines for one thing, but if you're looking to get a specific number to get quicker, go to senate.gov, look at your senator. You've got direct phone numbers there as well. The House switchboard as well is 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121, or go to house.gov and you'll get the specific phone numbers. But it is imperative, and Dean Bachman, I understand they could be voting as early as Sunday?
They could be voting as early as Sunday in Geneva, Switzerland. That's the vote on these amendments. But what people need to know is it takes 6 months for these amendments to actually go into force and effect. We don't want this vote to happen on Sunday, or it could be as late as the 28th of May. Could be as early as the 22nd of May. We don't want this vote to happen, but in case it does, just realize it'll take 6 months before this goes into force. And it could very well be that if enough people are contacting our members of Congress, there may be such a hue and cry and outcry from this that the Biden administration may be forced to pull us out of the WHO,
you know,
if people are upset enough about this.
Okay, so this is going to give the Director General of the World Health Organization unilateral authority. I want you to tell us about him, but also we understand this document refers to an emergency committee. What do we know about this emergency committee, and what do we know about this Director General?
Okay, so the current Director General of the World Health Organization, he has served in that capacity for 5 years. He's from Ethiopia. His name is Tedros. That's what he goes by, his first name, Tedros. We know him to be a highly controversial activist Marxist. He was found out for having covered up 3 different cholera outbreaks in Ethiopia, and he didn't share that information because the cholera outbreak broke up, or it arose in a political group that he didn't like. So he didn't want to share that information. A lot of people died. So he's a completely discredited fraud. He isn't a medical doctor, but yet he's been the head of the World Health Organization for the last 5 years. The reason why he's in that position is because he's Communist China's guy.
Oh, my.
He's their apologist. He didn't hold them accountable. Immediately after COVID started, he made public statements about how great China is and the wonderful response that China gave to COVID. All of that was proved to be a sham and a lie.
So you would say that he would be very hostile then to a constitutional republic like the U.S.?
He absolutely is hostile to the United States. He is on Communist China's side. That's why this is inexplicable. If you're the president of the United States, you would not empower an organization, the United Nations World Health Organization, that tends to be hostile to the United States. You wouldn't empower that organization. You certainly wouldn't empower an activist Marxist, Tedros, who will be the person who is given unilateral authority. He doesn't have to get permission from anybody. He doesn't have to show any data. He doesn't have to show any scientific background. He can just declare that there's a public health emergency of international concern, and that triggers all sorts of opportunities that he has to work with the World Trade Organization, the International Agriculture Association, the International Livestock Association, and they can go ahead and they can make pronouncements that could mean sanctions, it could mean fines, it could mean travel bans, it could mean all sorts of things. And they could do it on the basis of healthcare concerns, but they could also say, as you had said earlier, oh, climate change is causing all this trouble, or white nationalism is causing trouble, or we can't allow people to have guns. We have to have confiscation of guns. They have a very broad base of recommendations. So, again, they're just making the recommendation. They don't have an army. But if you have a government that has the political will to go along with those pronouncements, like the Biden administration has had for a year and a half, then the Biden administration would be the enforcer.
Friends, we have to take a break here, just a one-minute break. Have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or pencil. We'll be repeating these phone numbers following the break. Don't go away, folks. More information to come. A critical program today as the surrender of U.S. sovereignty is at risk. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Babylon is mentioned nearly 300 times in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. God's end-time program for Babylon has its roots in the historical account of the Tower of Babel. Their leader Nimrod, whose name means rebellion or revolt, led the people in defiance against God, pursuing what he saw as a new world order. In the book Babylon, the bookends of prophetic history, author Dr. Andy Woods reveals it's not only the old Babylon that pursued such a path, but believes the scriptural evidence points to the new Babylon that will be rebuilt as the headquarters of the Antichrist, will serve as a political authority over the earth, and the future seat of global religious authority. He examines the scriptures that call for a futuristic, literal Babylon in God's end times program. Copies of Babylon are available for a donation of $16 when you call 1-800-729-9829.
our nation is on the brink of surrendering our sovereignty to the World Health Organization. An activist Marxist who heads the organization, Tedros, the Director General of the World Health Organization. We're talking today with Dr. Michelle Bachmann. She is Dean of the School of Government at Regent University. And friends, let me give you these phone numbers again here to the House and Senate switchboards, or go. You can even look up their local numbers, go to their websites, get local numbers, call their D.C. office, follow up with the call to their local office. So Senate.gov, House.gov, you'll find many of their local numbers there as well. But the main switchboard's going in to the Senate, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, and to the House, 202-225-3121. And as our guest here today has shared, that to demand that they withdraw these amendments that are going before the World Health Organization here this weekend and into next week, and also to demand an end to the emergency powers. It's time to surrender those, folks, and things have been carried far too far here across this land. And keep in mind that if this takes place, that there is going to be a relentless attack upon the U.S. as far as we are in the crosshairs to bring us down. Dean Bachmann, I understand Article 12 indicates that even a report of a health-related event can come from anywhere, including the public domain. So if people are in a certain region, they're posting on social media, hey, we've got this symptom and this person got sick, that this would give them the authority just upon those reports to declare an emergency.
Yes, that's right. It's virtually for almost any reason or pretext. The Director General Tedros could make a determination. So affected nations, for instance, just take the issue of climate change. You could have a few nations that would report to the Director General and say, climate change is impacting my nation, and the problem is the United States of America. Because of their practices or what they're doing, that's hurting my nation. Then that triggers the general director, the director general of the WHO, and they can go ahead and start this process. Or if they allege, well, we think gun violence from America is hurting my nation, I'm an affected nation, or white nationalism from the United States is hurting my nation. I mean, this is just creating untold division, untold strife, and empowering one of the most incompetent organizations. If there is an organization that should be shut down, it's the World Health Organization. They've been incredibly incompetent in the way that they handled just this COVID crisis, let alone prior crisis. President Trump did the best thing that he could have done, which is to pull the United States out of this clown show that's the World Health Organization, and he pulled our money out of it, too. That's one of the first things that President Biden did. He put the United States back into the WHO. He started the money flowing again. The United States is the biggest contributor to this UN organization. Do you know who the number two contributor is? Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the largest private funder, but he contributes more money to the World Health Organization than Communist China contributes.
Wow.
So the World Health Organization has been Bill Gates' playground. It's his power base. It's his playground where he's been able to carry out his globalist fantasies. So isn't it interesting that healthcare has been the pretext to control our lives in the United States?
And he's all
and
about...
now it is at the international level as well. And his finger is on it. And he's, we could go into a lot of different areas.
He's all about depopulating the planet. And I mean, that alone should ring the alarm.
Well, no kidding. Exactly. And I mean, that's out of his mouth. We're not, you know, putting that in his mouth. He's actually said that. That's where he's coming from. And he was just on, it was less than 2 months ago, he was on TV saying 100% of Americans are going to have to give up eating meat. We're going to have to start eating synthetic meat. And he said, you'll get used to it after a while. And it's, you know, this is just one American. Yes, he's richer than any other American, practically, other than Mark Zuckerberg. He's a very wealthy guy. But that doesn't give him the right to destroy the Constitution.
Right, right.
We're still free men and free women. He doesn't have that right. And yet we're at a point now in society, at this time in history, where just a couple, a handful of people are thinking that they can tell us how to live our lives. Here's another interesting thing. This same week, when the vote will go on at the World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland, over these amendments, at the same time, this crowd that meets at Davos, Switzerland, the World Health or the World Economic Forum, they're going to be meeting in Davos, Switzerland at the same time. They've had big ideas for global government for a long time. And that's why we have got to wake up and push back. And this is one of the first platforms that they were creating, this vote to empower this director general of the WHO to essentially create world government controls and restrictions. That's the first thing, is to restrict us, control us, tell us what we can't do, have an attack on our economic wherewithal so that we don't have money to live our lives anymore. That's why this has to end.
Yeah, there's
this
another,
has to stop.
There, yes, and where this is going, in my opinion as well, is these health passports, medical passports,
yes.
Is universal digital ID for monitoring one's health. I mean, here we've had, was it Noah Yuval, who
yes.
has been an advisor,
yes.
who says, you know, we've been surveilling people on the outside, where they go, what they do, and all these things, but now we need to surveil under the skin. And this is really the pathway to bring about this universal digital ID for monitoring everybody, you know, everybody out there. And even as he talked about hacking, you know, we are able to hack into computers. This will enable us to hack into human beings. I mean, it's science fictionist, but it's their reality.
Well, and there's a brand new Article 5 to the International Health Rules, and that proposal talks about all of the surveillance that the director general of the World Health Organization would have. He would have the right and the power to bring about monitoring and surveillance. So whatever means that would be, again, it's written somewhat vague, but he would have the power of surveillance. There's the notification portion that gives almost no time for a nation to be able to react to a unilateral declaration by the director general of a public health emergency, again, invoking those emergency powers of international concern. So this is not just some joke. Our hair isn't on fire about, you know, something potential. This is reality. This is the biggest threat that we've ever seen to our national sovereignty. And this would very soon empower this United Nations agency, this incompetent agency that is being controlled by the communist Chinese. You'd almost think that we're speaking from a James Bond movie script, you know, that this couldn't be real. But we've seen things in the last 2.5 years that we never could have imagined. I mean, just imagine, here in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control put up a recommendation. They're dealing with health and disease. They put up a recommendation to suspend rent payments from tenants. So that it was a moratorium on paying your rent.
Yep.
So that landlords couldn't even collect rent. What power does the CDC have over that?
Yep.
And yet the Biden administration enforced it. That tenants wouldn't have to pay rent, but yet landlords had to pay insurance. They had to pay property taxes. They had to pay their mortgages. So the bills kept having to be paid. Well, what does that do? That breaks the back of private employers, just like all over America. We have all sorts of places that have gone out of business, all sorts of buildings now that are empty because there's no tenants left anymore. This has been breaking the financial back of the middle class.
And it's intentional.
It's intentional.
Yeah.
It's intentional. You've heard the term plandemic. Nobody could be this ignorant. Nobody could be this ignorant or make this many mistakes. Okay. This was intentional. Just like when you look at the collapse of Afghanistan, this is off topic, but when you look at the collapse of Afghanistan, it's the same thing. No one could be that stupid. No one could make that many mistakes. It was intentional to leave $84 billion of the world's finest weapons on on the desert floor,
yeah,
so that the communist Chinese could come and pick up those weapons and take over the Air Force base that we built. We spent over $1 trillion there on improvements, and now this is a forward base for the communist Chinese so they can project power from China. All done under the Biden administration. That's why people have to wake up. They've got to call their member of Congress. But I want to encourage people, too. You're impacted at the state level. I would call your governors, and you can look that, you can Google that up, but I would call your governor and your attorney general. I know in some states, some attorney generals are trying to put together legislation now that says that they will not recognize any pronouncements from the WHO. They will not allow that. They will not allow that to happen within their state. And I think that we need to fight back. We need to fight back at our state level, from our governors, from our attorney generals, from our local legislators, because we can't just lay down and give up U.S. sovereignty to be controlled by the communist Chinese, who control the director general of the World Health Organization, the healthcare arm of the United Nations. I mean, this is serious stuff. But I also want to say that we need to recognize that God is sovereign.
Amen.
He does not abandon us. He hears us when we cry. He promises us in his word that his banner over us is love. That's not just in the good times. That's in the bad times. That's when we hold on to these promises of God. People should be encouraged. This was meant to come under darkness of night. God in his providence allowed us to find out about this April 12th. Thank goodness. He's exposed this hidden deed of darkness. And what has he done? He's taken this knowledge, and people are now finding out about this, so much so that nobody knew about this on April 12th. And now, last night on Tucker Carlson, his opening segment, 13 minutes long, just a perfect explanation of this problem. The same thing on Laura Ingraham. National Religious Broadcasters puts out a statement. The Family Research Council is putting out a statement. The Liberty Council is putting out a statement.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of organizations that get it, that understand it. They're sounding the alarm. They're proven to be true. And so I don't think this will be able to stand up, because I'm telling you, the people are not for this. The people don't want this. And don't forget who we are. We're America. We are a constitutional republic. We elect the leaders who lead us. But we also, we're the ones who decide the laws we want to live on, the issues that we support. People don't support this. That's why I believe ultimately this will fail, but it's not going to fail if we don't push back. If we push back, there's every reason to believe that this will fail. Nobody is going to go along with this. Nobody. There's a few people like Bill Gates who believe in global governance, but not normal people. And so that's why we can win on this thing if we push back.
Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann with us now, Dean of the School of Government at Regent University. And folks, right now, you're a steward of the information that you have received today. What are you going to do with it? We'll be giving you some phone numbers and more information here following the break. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans wonder, how is it that communism has been so successful in America, penetrating so many of our government agencies to the point we refer to them now as the deep state? Reality is that Moscow, in 1960, released a document to their comrades worldwide calling for war on the anti-communist groups. Anti-communist groups like the John Birch Society and anti-communist individuals like Ronald Reagan or John Wayne. These people were particularly targeted because the communists in Moscow knew they were having great influence. Then the FBI had their hands tied after liberal Frank Church, U.S. Senator, held hearings in 1975 on our intelligence agencies. As a result, the Levy guidelines, named after Attorney General for Gerald Ford, were released that tied the hands of the FBI from investigating the communist.
With us today, Dr. Michelle Bachman, the Dean of the School of Government at Regent University and previously serving in the U.S. Congress. You know her as Representative Bachman, and certainly the impact that she made in the House. The fire is not gone, folks, as you've heard today. The fire is not gone at all. And certainly, as we have talked about such critical information, the vote could be happening as soon as this Sunday, this Lord's Day, taking place in Geneva, Switzerland. And here we have this vote that would that the Biden amendments would cede to the UN body or the World Health Organization the ability to declare a health emergency over our United States of America and dictate whatever they choose to dictate. Where you go? Do you leave your house? What do you buy? Will stores be open? Will we allow you to worship at your local church? On and on these issues would go on, but it would give the authority of such decisions to an activist Marxist. Yes, the Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros. And today you have the opportunity to contact your members of the House and Senate. And I'm going to give you these numbers here again, but the question here is, you've received this information. You're a steward of it. What are you going to do with it right now? We'd encourage you within just a couple hours, this program will be up on our website, to take links of this program and send it out far and wide to as many as you can. The number to reach your House member, 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. The Senate, 202-224-3121. Visit House.gov, Senate.gov for direct numbers to them, to their district offices as well, and certainly, as our guest has mentioned, to demand to withdraw these amendments, these Biden amendments, and also demand to end the emergency powers. I mean, this is a direct assault on our sovereignty, Dr. Bachman. I don't know how we can get around this constitutionally speaking. I mean, it doesn't. What gives the president the authority to do what he's doing?
Emergency powers that he granted to himself through an executive order. He was executive order happy that whole first week after the inauguration. Every day he put 25 executive orders out, or however many he did that day, undoing things from the Trump administration and granting himself new powers. Almost immediately, he granted himself executive powers. As soon as the COVID thing was already out there, but he continued it. Executive powers were invoked under the Trump administration as well.
Yeah.
They were invoked, and so they were just continued under the Biden administration. And so people thought, well, once the mask mandate lifted on airplanes, well, maybe we get to go back to order, to normal. That hasn't happened.
Right.
Now they're talking about putting it back on again. The CDC is recommending that we go back into masks on planes after everybody knows that they don't stop the transmission of the virus.
Yeah.
But the whole point being, we're still living. We don't know what law is anymore. We don't know what the rules are anymore. At any given moment, just because we're living under law by press conference. So whenever the CDC announces something, well, then we're all supposed to jump.
Yeah.
Like some government bureaucrat, because some bureaucrat said something, now I have to change my life? Now I'm going to lose my business because a government bureaucrat said that my business has to close down? Abortion mills can stay open, bars can stay open, casinos can stay open, but my church has to be closed?
Yeah.
My small business has to be closed? This is unconstitutional stuff. And so we shouldn't take this anymore. We've got to stop being polite, and I'm not telling anybody to be violent. Don't anybody be violent. You don't scream at anybody. But we need to say, look, we're Americans. We have freedoms. We are guaranteed the Bill of Rights. Stop taking away from my freedom of speech. You will no longer take away my freedom of religion and my freedom of worship. You're not going to take away my rights from me.
Dean Bachman,
this has almost been like a test case to see how many of our rights they can destroy.
Dean Bachman, I want to also point out, I was just handed a story that was released a short time ago from Leo Holman indicating that now Israel is joining with the U.S.
Yes.
in the plan to hand over sovereignty to the U.N. as well. I mean, that's
yes.
That is also troubling.
Leo Holman is great, and I had Leo Holman speak at a conference that I did at Regent University. By the way, I want to invite everyone to watch a free conference on rising authoritarianism that we did at Regent University. It's regent.edu/globalism. Again, it's Regent, which is regent.edu/globalism. We did 5 hours. It's excellent, talking about this rise of authoritarianism. Leo Holman was on, and Leo Holman is spelled Leo Holman is H-O-H-M-A-N-N. And if you go to leoholman.com, he has excellent articles on this topic of what's happened with the World Health Organization. One of his columns has a link to the actual amendments, which you can read for yourself. And yesterday, Israel came out, and they've also signed up to give away their sovereignty, too. But the Israeli government looks like it's about to collapse any day. So that's another thing that's going on. Hmm. We're just... And can I just give another word of encouragement?
Tell you what, we're down. Yes, we're down to 60 seconds. So go ahead.
Okay, I encourage everyone, pray according to Scripture. It is the most efficient way to pray. Pray Psalms 2. Psalms 2 says that the nations are in rebellion against the things of God, and as the nations rebel, God sits on His throne and He laughs at the nations because He ultimately is sovereign. It isn't the World Health Organization or the UN that's sovereign. God is sovereign. So we need to recognize who God is, and we need to pray, and we need to cry out to Him because He will not abandon us. He will be here. He sets the captives free. So we have to cry out to Him and remember that His banner over us is love. He cares for us.
Yeah.
So we act and occupy, but ultimately, He is sovereign.
Dr. Michelle Bachman, our guest, and we couldn't close on a better note than that. And friends, as you make your calls to your senators, as you make your call to your congressman, call unto God. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Dr. Bachman, thank you for carving out an hour of a very busy schedule to join and inform our Crosstalk listeners here today.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Keep praying. God is good.
Amen. And friends, and when we put up our link here, we've got some additional links here from Dean Bachman that we'll be putting on our write-up for Crosstalk. You'll find it at crosstalkamerica.com. Should be up there within just a couple hours, crosstalkamerica.com. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.